And now, young Widow Brown. It was the day after the very difficult operation which saved Ellen Brown's life, and which was performed by the young and lovely woman surgeon, Dr. Allison Shaw. Now, in the late afternoon, in her room at Health Center Hospital, Ellen is talking with her fiancé, Dr. Anthony Loring, saying,
"Oh, darling, I have so much to be thankful for."
"So have I."
"Anthony, do you know what I was dreaming of before, well, I guess, before the operation?"
"Me, I hope."
"Oh, of course. Only it wasn't one of those beautiful dreams when you say lovely things, when you're very poetic and articulate. I was arguing with you about the dreams."
"Well, you shouldn't have. I planned it tomorrow. As a matter of fact, it was one of the grimmest jobs I ever performed."
"Why?"
"Well, in the first place, your garden is a lonely spot when you're not in it."
"Thank you."
"In the second place, Maureen Temple came over. When I told her what I was doing, there was that awful unspoken thought going on in our minds. I wouldn't say it, nor would she."
"I don't know what you mean."
"Well, we both wondered if you'd be there to see them when they didn't."
"Oh. Was it bad? I mean, could that have happened?"
"My darling, it could."
"I had such complete faith in Dr. Allison Shaw. Well, where is she? How is she?"
"She's resting now. She's been in and out all day watching me."
"I hope I've made a little sense to her, Anthony. I hope I've said thank you to her. Have I? I just don't remember anything."
"You thanked her last night. A little while after you came down from the operating room."
"Oh, were you there?"
"Was I there? Well, now, darling, after all, I've been standing by for some time."
"Oh, I know, I'm sure. You shouldn't have, though. You must be so tired."
"Not now. I had a sleep this afternoon. But I'll tell you this much, Ellen. Nothing I've ever done in my whole life has been so exhausting as that waiting, that tension."
"Poor Anthony."
"I'm going to be much kinder to waiting relatives hereafter, I promise."
"You're never unkind."
"I have been. You know one instance of it is the way I treated that girl."
"Which girl?"
"Allison Shaw. I realized it more and more last night. I took her to George's for some coffee."
"George's. Oh, darling, isn't it wonderful all the things I was given back when Allison made me well again?" "Just having a cup of coffee with you at George's will be so wonderful. Such a wonderful gift."
"We'll have thousands of them together again, dear."
"Tell me more about Allison."
"Well, you know how rude I was to her when she first came. Last night, she sat across from me at the table. She'd changed into a silly kind of dress. And she was relaxed because she'd done a good job. And I thought, what a heel out there."
"Did you tell her so?"
"Mm-hmm."
"Well, that's all women want, you know. To be told that someone knows who's hurt them or offended them. You'll bear you any ill will, I'm sure."
"Ellen, you can't know because you're not a doctor. You can't know what a job she did."
"Oh, she's so wonderful. She won't go back right away, will she, Anthony?"
"I have no idea."
"Well, will I need her? I mean, does she have to look after me?"
"I don't think so. I can certainly give you the aftercare."
"Make her stay a while. Anthony, I think, have you ever had a hunch about someone?"
"How do you mean? Have you a hunch about Allison Shaw?"
"Yes. She's lonely, and she has a lot of problems that she can't talk about."
"Oh, now, darling, that's pure guesswork. You haven't a thing to base that on."
"Yes, I have. She knows her Bible so well. She's had to have recourse to it, I'm sure of that."
"Maybe she was just very well brought up."
"No, the things she knows in the Bible are the things you turn to in time of stress."
"Playing detective?"
"That's it." "And Anthony, if she is lonely, if she does need companionship or confidence in herself, outside of work, I mean, well, then perhaps that's the way we can repay a little of what she's done for us."
"Perhaps it is."
"Well, Anthony, she could be such a good friend. She has such wit, such..." "This is silly, but, darling, Maureen Temple leans on me. I think that with Allison, I might turn it around. I might derive something from her. Is that very selfish, do you think?"
"No, but I think you're talking too much. Your purse is going up, and Olivia McAvoy will be in here tearing my hair out."
"Do you have to go, really?"
"Oh, I'm not going far, nor for very long, dear."
"Take the children for me. They may not know it, but I was so afraid I wouldn't see them again. That was the big fear."
"And me?"
I haven't the right to put it into words about you, Lanky. You know that the children need me.
You think I don't need you?
I'm a luxury to you, completely. You could forget me, Anthony, as you could, well, forget something.
Stop it, Ellen.
Why?
Because it isn't true. Because when you dismiss as lightly as that the anguish of waiting that I knew.
Oh, darling, I didn't mean to be... I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm a fine, sick woman companion. Forgive me, dear. I'm very sorry.
It's all right, Anthony. I know when two people quarrel about how much they love each other. Why, it isn't a bad quarrel, ever.
Take a rest, Ellen, dear. I'll be back and help you eat your supper. Be a good girl. Try to rest.
Meanwhile, in the apartment of Olivia McAvoy, superintendent of nurses, Dr. Allison Shaw is writing a letter to her supervisor.
I have dictated to the stenographer a technical report of the operation, Dr. Humphreys, and so this letter is just from me to you, because you're the only one who knows all there is to know about me. Your father, mother, teacher, and counselor, Finney, and I need your help. I've kept in touch with Mother Humphreys by telephone, and I know you're coming along well, so this isn't really as selfish as it sounds. I want to stay here for a while, Dr. Humphreys. Many people here know me and good and decent. Now that Jim knows where I am, when I'm with you and Mother Humphreys, I'm not safe in spirit or body. I've slept here every night without waking, except once, and that waking was about Ellen, not about Jim. That was just the business of working out my job. That wasn't the terror by night, which is Jim. So I'm going to see if I can make arrangements to stay for a while. I think Ellen Brown likes me well enough. I think there's refuge here for me.
And now later on, as Ellen's nurse finishes her evening care, Dr. Allison Shaw walks into the room and sits down beside the bed.
Hello, Allison.
Hello, Ellen.
I feel wonderful. That's all you've said to me every time I've seen you.
You're a grand patient, Ellen. I wish they were all like you.
Well, I've got a wonderful doctor. Except for one thing.
Criticism now.
What about?
You came from Dr. Humphrey's camp at the lake. This is your vacation. You're entitled to lots of rest and fun. And I'm sure you're anxious to get back there, Peter. Go on.
I feel utterly selfish and mean when I say that I don't want you to go. I almost wish I weren't so well, Alice. I almost wish that I was sicker so that you would stay.
There's not such a lot going on at the camp that I'm missing, Ellen.
It's dull in Simpsonville and hot. But there is the country club, and Anthony will take you there in the evening. And the temples are crazy about you. We have a very few eligible young men.
Please, send the young men.
But Allison, I'd like you to stay. I invite you to stay as a guest at my house, or at Maureen's. You'd be beautifully taken care of.
Ellen, you're wonderful. If I stay, it would be here at the hospital where I can poke around and keep an eye on you.
If you stay? Well, then there is a chance that you don't want to rush off. You see, I talked about it with Anthony, and he said that he was sure that he could take care of me from now on, so... It's utterly selfish, my wanting to stay.
Do you know, I just wrote to old Dr. Humphrey, telling him that I was going to try to wrangle an invitation.
Oh, you'll stay.
Yes, Ellen. I want to stay, because, well, we don't have to talk about that. I just want to stay, Ellen. And if it's all right with the rest of you, then I'm very lucky.
But what were the ominous overtones in Allison's letter to Dr. Humphreys? How will they color the future of young Widow Brown?